But we're talking about joy this month. We went through love, and we have all the rest of the fruits of the Spirit coming up. This morning, we're in that part of the cycle where we're going to talk about great examples of joy, particularly we find in the Bible. If you remember when we looked at love, we talked about how hard it was to nail down all the different types of love, and we tried our best to give some examples. I got a lot more input this time around when I was asking about examples of joy. In fact, all of the examples that I'm going to bring up this morning, I believe were actually examples that I got from other people, some of you guys and some others that I talked to. Some of you gave some examples that aren't going to be used today, but will in the next couple weeks. So I appreciated everybody's help. Joy, while not as expansive as the idea of love and all that went along with that, joy can be a little hard to nail down, in that sometimes we like to make it a little more simple than it is. Sometimes we think joy is just happiness. If somebody is happy, then they are joyful. And if somebody doesn't seem happy, well, then that's not a joyful person. We talked some last week about maybe some better ways of looking at the idea of joy. Where we left off, we talked about where it seems that the way joy is discussed in the Bible seems to be doing the same thing as the way the Spirit is being discussed. Very much coming and going. When we look in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it talks about being filled with joy, just like being filled with the Spirit. And we closed at looking at some examples of New Testament Christians connecting those ideas of joy and the movement of the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I don't want to lose that idea, but I do want to bring up some of these examples of people that we see in the Bible expressing joy, some joyful people. So again, some of these are my ideas. Most of these were not my ideas, but I like them a lot. I like the people who gave me the ideas a lot. So let's go to some profiles in joy, some people who show us joy in the Bible. First one is Miriam. We don't have a lot about Miriam in Exodus. We know she is the older sister of Moses. Maybe you might think, when you hear the name Miriam, you might first think of the scene that we have here of her watching over the basket, Moses floating down the river, and Miriam watching the basket, and when he's drawn out of the river, she shows up and helps facilitate his new living arrangement there, and gets his mother. But that's not the scene that I want to look at for joy. We have a few other scenes that feature Miriam. One that wasn't so flattering when she stood up against Moses. We're not looking at that one. But we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 comes immediately after the crossing of the sea. And you remember that they come out of Egypt, and Pharaoh's troops come riding after them, and they get to the sea, and then what happens? Hold up the staff, and the water parts, and they get across, and then the troops come after them, and the water comes back down, and they are truly free at that point. And they get across the sea, and you try to think about what the emotions would have been at that time. Think of the whirlwind they've been going through, of excitement, and then fear, and then amazement, and maybe a different type of fear, going through all of that. And and then relief. And you have to imagine that immediately after all of that, there's probably one of those pauses to search and try to figure out how you feel. You know, after you've listened to a really emotional song or something, a band is playing some very emotional thing, the audience is silent, and then what happens? And you get the reaction. I was watching something with Jared recently, and there was some music performance, and it ends, and it was that case. He said, well, how come nobody's doing anything? Well, sometimes you have to process. And then what comes out in Exodus 15 after that is this song called the Song of Moses, sometimes the Song of Moses and Miriam. And they start to sing this song about what has just happened, about all of the things that they've just witnessed. And this song is central to a lot of faith of Israel. It's thought that this might have been one of the earliest composed songs that they have in the Bible. And it is overflowing with joy. I'll sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him. My Father's God. I will exalt him. Remember we talked about joy in the Old Testament last week. It's something that we see as sung and shouted and expressed and something to hang on to. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. We're not going to read through the whole thing. They continue to go through and recount all these amazing things that they said and the joy coming from that. And then after this song has been gone through, it says, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels, dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both the horse and the driver he has hurled into the sea. These same words that we saw in this song. This new picture that we have of Miriam celebrating, singing, making music, leading others in doing the same, calling to them, sing to the Lord. Look at what God has done. Now, when we talked about the difference between joy in the Old Testament and the New Testament last week, I don't want to diminish this type of joy that we see. This type of joy where you witness something incredible happening that can only be explained by God's movement. That can only be explained by God making something happen. And I think that we still need to recognize this type of joy, hold on to it when we can. This joy that we see with Moses and with Miriam of saying, get behind me, we got a song to sing, we got a dance to do. Again, I didn't do the dance this morning. But we have something to celebrate. I think we need this image of joy in our lives. We need to have that we need to know that it is okay. Say, let's make some noise because God has done something. Have you been there? I think we need to be comfortable being there. And so I think Miriam's a good example there. Well, moving on from Miriam, who else do you think of when you think of dancing in praise of the Lord? maybe you think of, is that how you said, Rachel? Maybe a few others were thinking the same thing. Right? This is the image painted a little more appropriately than the way it's actually described in the text. David coming back with the ark, and it says he strips down and is dancing, and he's embarrassing his wife. He's watching all the stuff going on. It's biblical. And celebrating and letting it be known that something amazing has happened. This is, I think, a scene very similar to Miriam singing her song. David coming back with the ark and said, God has achieved a great victory here. God has done something amazing for his people, and he's got to dance about it. This looks a little bit like Fiddler on the Roof there, but just the picture. But it's that same kind of idea, and I think this is how we picture David a lot of times. We think of David as this example of joy. We think of David as this singer of the great songs of praise, listed as the author of so many of the Psalms. And we think of, like here, it starts Psalm 21, which is attributed to David. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him his heart's desire. You have not withheld the requests of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. I don't know if this is the song or one of the songs that he was singing in that scene with the ark, but I think this is kind of the idea of what we think of when we think of David dancing in the streets, playing music to the Lord. And David, I think, is somebody we picture as this example of joy. But David's also the same guy that wrote this. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all of my foes. Psalm 6 is also attributed to David. And when we move past these surface level impressions of who David was, we see a much deeper, much fuller character. David certainly was this guy. This was David after a great victory. This is also an artistic depiction of David after a great victory. Do you remember? David had been on the run. His son Absalom wanted him dead. His son wanted to be king and said, the biggest obstacle towards my being king is my father keeps breathing. And how can I stop that? This is after Absalom has been killed. And the report comes to David that the Lord has won. Your enemies have been dealt with. There is peace in the kingdom. And what was David's response? Is Absalom okay? And somebody comes and gives him the same news. Great news! The Lord has dealt with your enemies. Is Absalom okay? And he finds out he's not. This is the depiction of one artist of David mourning his son Absalom. David, who wrote so many times in the Psalms about, Lord, turn our mourning into dancing. In this time where his people were getting the party started and starting to celebrate and starting to dance, David says, stop that. We need to mourn. And in 2 Samuel 19, where this happens, Joab, one of the generals, was told, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. And the whole army, and for the whole army, the victory that day was turned into mourning. Because on that day, the troops heard it said, the king is grieving for his son. The men stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee for battle. The king covered his face and cried aloud, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And after that, Joab has to come to him and say, I don't want to paraphrase it too much. Essentially, he said, you're bringing everybody down. He says to them, you love those who you hate, who hate you, and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead. Now go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. It will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come upon you from your youth until now. So David got up and he did speak to his people. But that's not where his heart was that day. And this was not the only scene that we see of David like this. We see David mourning after the loss of another son following sin with Bathsheba when that child died. He mourned for a while. David mourned the death of Saul. Do these scenes take away from how you thought of David just a few slides ago as the great example of joy? Does David no longer become a joyful person because he mourns? Because he stops dancing and says, something else is needed here. I don't think so. And while David himself might not describe these times as the most joyful times of his life, I don't think that we ought to look down on David and think him a less joyful man because he knows lament, because he knows heartbreak and knows times of mourning. I think the problem when we say joy equals happy is we forget that we all have happiness and sadness in our lives. We forget that we all feel like that sometimes, and we feel like that sometimes. And I think the desire to have a nice, neat message of this is what joy looks like, in the desire to have that, I think churches have hurt people who would love to look like this but are feeling this. I think too often we have said, joy is found in the Lord, so if you are found in the Lord, you will always have joy. And real Christians don't get depressed. real Christians don't get anxious. We so love those images of Miriam alongside the Red Sea and of David dancing in front of the ark that we forget about the bigger picture, that a joyful person does not always have to be a happy person. Because how many of you were saying David before I brought up that slide? And you're right. He is a joyful, was a joyful man of God who experienced all the same stuff and more we do in life. So I think joy has to be seen as something more than just happiness. Shall we move on? Yeah, that got dark. Let's move on. Some other examples of joy. Look at Jesus' disciples. Especially look at them as they're learning from Jesus. Look at them as they are coming off of the incredible spiritual high in the beginning of Acts, where they receive the Holy Spirit and they are baptizing thousands and they are spreading the word, and it says numbers are growing and they are living together and nobody has need, and the Lord is adding to their number daily. One of the verses we looked at last week when we were looking at that connection of joy and the Spirit, it said, this is one of the times where they're having to leave a city where they weren't welcomed. And it says, they're filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And so they went someplace else. Go tell somebody else. This was their motivation. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy. And so they kept going. And we see a lot of examples, if you look through Acts, if you look through the letters, that clearly talk about the joy of the Lord being their motivation. And they did understand what we were just talking about with David, because we also know that their lives were not always easy. In fact, from stories, some in the Bible, some written by historians, some things that were developed, how did things end for these guys? Especially thinking about the 12. I don't know how clear that comes up on there. Everybody but John died as a martyr. Were killed. James, John's brother, didn't make it out of the book of Acts alive. Acts chapter 12, you see, he was executed. And they had Peter as the next one up. And you remember that scene where they knew Peter was in jail and they expected the worst. And the church was gathered. And they were praying. And Peter shows up at the door. And somebody figures this is ghost. And when they realize what has happened, there is celebration. There is joy. And they keep on moving. Was the threat gone? Nope. Were the problems all solved because Peter got out of jail that day? No. They had lost somebody already. There were still threats. It was still dangerous. And they still went. Why? They carried this joy with them. Like I said in Acts 13. Because the successes that they see were worth it. And even more than that, look at the letter, one of the letters of Peter. I know we've looked at this text a few times because it's one of those that is not what you would expect to find. Peter, who had a hard time, we see in the book of Acts, At the end of John, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to have a hard time. In fact, you're going to be led away. You're going to be killed. Peter, who did not have it easy, when he is teaching near the end of his life, most likely, he teaches, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Peter, and maybe I was hedging too much when talking about these things. Maybe I was saying they have joy despite of suffering, despite mourning. Peter says, we have joy because of that. Why? Because Jesus went through the same thing. Talks about that more directly in chapter 4 of that book. He says, Jesus suffered for doing good. And so when you suffer for being good, you're being like Jesus. Celebrate that. We talked about joy and the Spirit going hand in hand. If the Spirit looks like who Jesus is, that's another lesson. We'll talk about that another time. Then Peter says, doing the same thing Jesus does, being found in the same position as Jesus, that looks like the movement of the Spirit. If you were insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Be joyful. I'm seeing a sign that I've got the wrong chapter listed on there. All right. You got Bibles. Hopefully you brought them with you. Check it out. I'm tired sometimes when I do these. But anyway, James echoes this similar idea. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. Not joy in spite of, but joy because of. Because those trials build you up. Test your faith. Produce perseverance. Finish its work. Maturity. Completion. These things. That joy is not absent from struggle. The Spirit does not go away because things get hard. The Spirit gets work when things are hard, if we allow it. And maybe that's what our joy looks like. We see it in the lives of those disciples. And if we're looking, we'll see it in our lives. Last example, that clock keeps moving on me. Paul. We see it in his writings. He talks about joy a lot. He talks about his joy being made complete when he's addressing his letters to different people in different churches. He talks about the joy that he has for them and joy for hearing things about them. I just want to go to one particular text where he lays out some of these ideas about joy in Romans chapter 15. I'm confident I have the right one on this. He tells them, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you, Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. He's starting a history lesson. He said promises were made very early on, and then he's going to track the movement of these promises. We've seen this sort of lesson before. Peter did it at Pentecost. Stephen, who I intended to talk about in that last section, who is an example of pretty much the only thing we know about him was a terrible thing, and yet he can be seen as an example of somebody with joy. But his message was one of these history lessons of here's all the things God has done. But notice the ones that Paul brings out. He brings up several Old Testament texts. Now, what do these have in common? I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises of your name. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let the people extol him. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles will have hope. These are these words that we talk about joy in the Old Testament. Sing, praise, rejoice. And its conclusion there is, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now he's brought in a few words other than joy here. He's brought in association with peace and hope, and yeah, we'll talk about those another day too. But he says, when you are filled with this power of the Spirit, it's joy. Just like all these times it was promised throughout the years. He says, that's what it looks like. And so we see Paul trying to create this joy as he goes from place to place. And the more people who respond, the more you see him, this expression of this overflowing power of the Holy Spirit in joy. We have the scene, and a verse from this in the bulletin. The scene where Paul's in jail. There's an earthquake, right? And the jailer comes in and figures everybody's gone, and is going to take matters in his own hands and beat his higher ups to the punch and end things, because he knew punishment was coming. And they say, "Don't do that. We're still here." Of course, others had left, but he saw something different about them and asked about it, and they shared. It says, "And that hour of the night the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, so he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household." Now, I'm going to say this guy still probably did get in some trouble when this happened. I don't think everything in his life was suddenly made happy and set straight because of his actions here, because of his decision and the decision of his family. But we know he was filled with joy. We know he was filled with the Spirit. And I believe that these are the experiences that kept Paul going. Seeing these things happen. Seeing the movement of the Spirit. Seeing the spread of God's joy. And so, we're still a couple weeks away from the so what of all this. I got a little time to keep writing it. But we can see from these examples, God's people, joyful people, varied and real people, we can start to get a better idea of what this joy looks like. It's the celebration of Miriam. It's the celebration and mourning of David. It's the spiritual training of the disciples. And it's that joy found in the spread of the word that we see in Paul. We're going to keep looking at these ideas. We're going to keep seeing, we're going to keep looking into this connection between joy and the Spirit the next 2 weeks. We're going to look at some teachings by Jesus next week and how Jesus talks about joy and what we see in his life. And then we're going to figure out what can we do with this. We're going to try to avoid those cliches, and we're going to see what can we do to make joy a very real part of who we are. But for now, we're just going to sing a song. And while we're singing, if there's anything you need, let us know about it. This is a family here. that cares very much for our brothers and sisters. And if you need prayers, or if you just need to share, or I think I heard you might have water in here now. If you need to respond like that jailer and his family and say, I want to be filled with the joy and with the Spirit of God today, let us know. Please come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you.